used to wake up playing GameCube. Whatever game we playing, man, I can't lose. Can't choose what game system to use. Like saying who better, Ken or Ryu. You love BGs, oh yeah, girl, me too. We can watch anime all day and skip school. Young legend, rap take it to a new level. New medals for young kings who don't settle. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. I'm the otaku king of hip hop. Y'all couldn't pull up on me at a pit stop. Got the Sonic ring, middle with my wristwatch. Here, make the ring noise every time it tick tock. It's Young Day, not Jenny from the block. Gotta tell me when to start. Don't know when to stop. Pull up to the scene like my name RoboCop. Legendary Baker Styles T, it's a bop. PS Play, yeah, bought it for the fun, yeah. 6-4, yeah, you don't even know that. Game Boy SP on the flow, yeah. Room full of anime scrolls, Womo, yeah. If she not an otaku, we cannot vibe. We so retro, we play the Wii outside. I cannot hear ya, that's a far cry. BG anime retro life. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Earth Mac, the Mad Scientist,
and your girl Detroit Blue.
What is happening? What is happening? It is Monday. You know what, Detroit Blue? You sound real different, man. Like you get yourself a new studio set? You out here balling?
No, I am definitely not balling. I am in my car right now.
I beg to differ, man. Oh, so you got a studio in the car too? You got the stimmy, fam? You out here getting the stimmy checks early?
I'm so done with you.
I'm just saying, man, let a brother know when you get the early stimmy. You know, you got studios in the house. I got a studio in the car. Like, man, come on, man. You got a jacuzzi in the trunk?
How was your weekend? You had a good weekend.
My weekend was all right. My weekend was great. My weekend was great.
I'm currently being harassed. I don't know what just happened.
Look, we just trying to find out, man, if you got the stimmy yet. Because, you sound different. No.
Don't be counting my coins.
I'm not counting the coins. But yes, my weekend was great. I relaxed a little bit yesterday. We did not stream yesterday, but we are streaming tonight at 7 p.m. I am issuing out an open challenge. This is 7 p.m. Eastern time of this old school Neo Geo game called Windjammers. Windjammers is a sports title. However, if you ever play Pong, because I'm pretty sure you have, Detroit Blue, right. So is I. Right. But this is really, in a way, frisbee golf, in a way, but you're actually going up against another person. So it has power-ups, and it's just like Pong, but you're using actual people. So you got, power moves and all kinds of stuff, and you're trying to hit the goal of your opponent. Sometimes the goal costs 3 points. Sometimes it's 5 points, depending on what stage that you're at. So if you hit a red mark, it's 5 points. But the first person that hits 12 wins that round. So you have to win 2 out of 3 with 12 points. It's a fun game. Real fun game.
It sounds complicated.
It is not. I promise you. I promise you Windjammers is not. Like, matter of fact, what I will do after the show, I will send you a link on... how it's being played. It's pretty fun. It's pretty addictive. You will burn some hours, though. So, I will say that. So, back to you and the jacuzzi in the trunk.
Nobody has a jacuzzi in the trunk. No.
You got a pet giraffe in the backyard?
So, to tell you 100%, the most ridiculous thing is happening right now. So usually what happens is that I get up in the morning, you and I kind of have our side conversation to make sure that everything is ready for the show.
Correct.
And then usually I jump up, throw on some clothes, run to get my Starbucks, come back in the house. Well, today, jump up, run out the house, going to get my Starbucks. And they've decided to train a new cashier on a Monday morning.
Oh. I mean, what better day to train them than on a Monday? Because you already know.
Monday. There's nobody that is already kind of, you know, flabbergasted and, you know, thrown off because of daylight savings time and all the other things on a Monday. This seems like a perfect time.
True. This is like the perfect time to aggravate customers.
And especially like us Starbucks people, we are a very special group of people.
Agreed.
We tend to be very, very, very specific about what we want. And we know like some people are to the point of telling you how many pumps of whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in a pandemic, when you are dealing with, you know, people, muffled sound is already a barrier, so he can hardly hear. Plus, he don't know where the buttons are. Like, it's... So, what is normally from my house and back, like a 12-minute trip?
Yeah.
I've been here for 20 minutes.
Wait a minute, you still didn't get your Starbucks?
I still don't have my drink.
Are they gonna, like... They're going to bring it to you. You have to go out and get it.
So I decided, because there was like 3 or 4 people ahead of me. So I was like, well, if they're still standing here too, I'll just go, because we needed to start the show. I was like, I'm just going to run out to the car. And when I see them come out, because they have their drinks, then maybe mine will be ready and I'll run in and grab mine.
So you're taking a gamble right now. You said maybe. There's no guarantee.
Well, I've seen 2 out of the 3 people that ordered ahead of me come outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. I got you.
So I'm waiting for that buffer. Like, I'm not trying to go back in there and then have to stay in for another like 10 minutes or so. Like, it's, I'm not doing that. I'm over them. So no, like all the things that we discussed, like I'm ready. I've got the things. I feel like you are enjoying this sound so much that I might need to just do the show from the car from now on.
I mean, since you got a whole ass studio in the car. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, no,
Mio
you sound like a studio.
Mio 38 said the trainee is going to give away my order.
Ooh,
he's not.
Listen.
He's not, because the drinks always have your name on them.
He might spell your name wrong, and it might be another Erica in there.
He might spell my name wrong. He shouldn't, because when I scan a card, technically they don't need to type my name,
right?
And the name should come back. Hold on, Alpha Mike, you changed your profile picture,
right? He said, and I'm back. He said, wait a minute, unless you got 2 names here. Like, I seen Dark Alpha and then I see Alpha Mike, and I was like, wait a minute, what is happening right now? He said, and
are
I'm
you
back
two people at the same time.
Oh my, he's out here being too
back and I'm better. I'm both on board. I'm done with you.
Listen, okay. So, before we start discussing Detroit Blues, giraffe in the backyard.
This is not a giraffe in the backyard.
Well, I got a giraffe in the backyard. I'm just saying.
That might, without your stimmy.
Yes. What?
Before the stimmy, you was already able to secure the giraffe in the backyard. I said it.
He is currently eating my leaves off the trees. There's no leaf on a tree at all. It's just straight branches, man. I was like, fam, can you hold it down, bro? Like, I don't know where I can get more leaves here. Like, you eating the neighbor's leaves, my leaves, the neighbors on both sides. Now you just not out here looking dumb. Now you can't eat.
I have the important question.
What's that?
So, if you've got a giraffe, and the giraffe is eating the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
What if you've got to take this giraffe after he's eaten out for a formal occasion? Where does the necktie go? Up at the top or down at the bottom?
Hmm. I would say the top. I would say the top. Yeah, I mean, well, so he has company. He has company. All right. You know, he's,
oh.
he talks. Yeah, he talks to the pterodactyl every now and again whenever it flies in. It's just
hold on. Speaking of, did you see that news article about the dinosaur egg that was like discovered and there was babies?
Listen, so I skimmed across that last night, right? But I didn't read it. Like, I'm like, this might be one of them fake articles. Because sometimes Facebook could get you. Like, mm-hmm. they'll put that article out there to make you want to click clickbait.
I wish that one was fake.
So there was actual dinosaur babies that was in there?
I'm pretty sure that's what I read, was that this did not come up under Snopes to be like, no, this is actually a lie. Right. And what I'm telling you is that I did not have Jurassic Park on my bingo board
so
for 2021.
Were these animals alive or?
I'm 98% sure that they were not alive, but it's the point that we are still discovering new dinosaur babies.
Yeah. I mean, okay, look at it this way. I mean, other than knowing how a dinosaur looks based on the skeletal structure and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can only estimate the lifespan or whatever. So if, say, there were dinosaur eggs, they may be dinosaur eggs that can hold a life for many, many years, like thousands of years. So
are you saying you hope that this was real?
Nah, I really don't. I mean, okay. If it was a herbivore, by all means, yes. I wouldn't mind seeing a brontosaurus out there eating leaves, man. It's cool. Try have a lion take that out. Yeah, try that. It ain't happening. Or a stegosaurus. You know, it got a spiked tail, you know. But hey, listen, it eats leaves. It don't eat people. Just don't get near the tail. Or else it'll stab you with the spikes. But whatever. I'd be cool with that. But a T-Rex? Nah, you can have that. Shoot that thing. Shoot it down.
Yeah, it said the dinosaur was found on fossilized eggs with babies inside.
Hmm.
However, there were babies inside of the fossilized eggs.
Hmm. I will say, though, I wouldn't mind a pet velociraptor. I would not mind that at all.
When I tell you I just got flagged down to come and get my drink, this is all hilarious.
Oh yeah, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are on a journey here with Detroit Blue, because she is going to get her Starbucks. She is dealing with a new person.
Thanks, Mark.
A new person here that this first day on a Monday at Starbucks. On a Monday. This is the start of the week.
First day on the job, on the register.
On the register.
Mm-mm.
Now, I wouldn't
after
mind.
After daylight savings time.
Right. After daylight savings time on a Monday. You already know our motto here at the Orange Phoenix Morning Show. We make Mondays our bitch. That's what we do. But listen, like Detroit Blue was saying, there's a special group of people that has a particular set of skills. My lady, for one, gets real ornery without coffee. I noticed this about her, so I went about like a coffee machine. Like, you know, let me get a coffee machine, because I'd be damned if I'm gonna wake up almost every morning to go to Starbucks to get some Starbucks. Nope, we're gonna get a coffee machine. We got this thing in Wyatt. We good.
See, and Alpha Mike said, you know, you would have gotten your coffee faster from Dunkin' Donuts.
this might be true.
Ain't nobody trying to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
This might be true, though. This just might be true. But yeah, Detroit Blue, I really wouldn't mind a velociraptor. A pet velociraptor. You know, just saying. Like, you know, for the listeners out there, like, would you want a pet velociraptor, man? I mean, it's better than a dog. You think about it. You know, you train them, love them, and train them up from being a baby. Then it grows up. And all you gotta do is, you know, just throw out a couple steaks out there, you know, raw meat for them to eat.
Do velociraptors eat meat?
Yeah.
They're carnivores?
Yes, they are.
So you want a carnivore?
No, I said I want a
carnivore.
Yeah.
With your giraffe?
No. I'm gonna have to, like, sell the giraffe at that point. Because, you know, or, because I like giraffes, you know what I mean? So I got to sell them because I don't want a velociraptor to hop on top of him and start eating at his neck. Nah, we don't want that. You don't want that. That's too much red tape. Too much red tape.
That's, you know, the concern.
At least a pterodactyl can fly away. You know, I can just have a pet velociraptor and a pterodactyl. So when I leave the house, it can guard the house. So try to break it in the house if you want to. Hey, look, it's Timmy, velociraptor in the kitchen, making a sandwich. You know, I'm just...
But the velociraptor, I thought the velociraptor also had short arms like the T-Rex had short arms.
It does have short arms, but not that short. Like, it's very agile. It can hop, like,
but
you know.
But you said he was making a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm going to train him to make himself a sandwich. You know, with little claws and stuff. I'm going to, you know, have special tools out. That way he can just kind of like grab it. You know, he can use the mayonnaise and the turkey and stuff. And, you know, he can chill out, eat himself a sandwich, man, and watch some TV. Because he's going to be in the house when I leave. You know, so whenever there's a, if there might be a B&E, oh, snap, I didn't know there was a velociraptor in the house. Let me slowly back out. No, sir, you are too late. The velociraptor already see you. Tell me, already see you. Now you're meat.
This is all very concerning.
Hey, listen, this is strategic.
Because I'm also like velociraptors, giraffes. These are animals that are accustomed to being like outside.
Oh, true. These are true. Now, mind you, now I did see a documentary on, it wasn't really on cats per se, but it was like a death battle, and they were like explaining Beerus, because Beerus went up against Sailor Galaxia for the death battle. And since Beerus is modeled after a cat, really cats are in a way are not supposed to be pets because they're so self-sufficient. It's just that people made them in that way. So really, honestly, a cat can fend for themselves. I mean, honestly. But so if your cat run away, you don't really have to go out there and say, oh crap, my cat's gonna die. No, your cat's gonna live.
But also, Alpha Mike asks the important question. What if the raptor eats your quilt?
I'm gonna take off my belt. Like, we don't do that here. I'm gonna make him his own quilt. I'm gonna get him his own quilt.
He's eating the whole quilt now. So what do you do?
Well, you know what? I'm not gonna get upset because I'm gonna make him his own quilt. So when he takes a nap, all he gotta do is just lay on top of the quilt. He don't have to eat mine. Matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as saying I'm going to make that quilt better than mine. That way he won't even look at it. He's like, nah, fam, you got a mediocre quilt. My quilt is superior.
Do you think that raptors are discerning quality of quilt?
Yeah, I'm going to train him to be that way. To make a sandwich, to lay on his own quilt. He's going to be potty trained. You know, kids can play with him.
And, you know, and apparently mess with kids. A real raptor is about the size of a chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right size with chicken. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, kids can play with them and stuff like that. Love them, train them up.
This is all
you don't want a plethora of raptors, man. Then you got problems because, you know, you don't want that. You don't want that in your life.
What is a large group of raptors called? Is it a gaggle of raptors?
A gaggle of raptors.
Is it a den of raptors?
All I know is I don't want to go in a cave full of wild raptors. Okay, we don't want to do that. That's not trained.
Do they live in a cave?
Nah, they'd be out there in the wilderness. But still, yet though, you might go in the cave. Oh, true. All right, listen, have you ever seen Monster Hunter?
No, what is that?
Okay, so Monster Hunter is actually a video game. Okay,
it was on the Wii. I also want you to know that I never in my life thought that I would have this much of an in-depth conversation about velociraptors.
And this is why we are here at the OP Morning Show. This is why you're here. We talked about STEMI checks and what we're going to do with them things. And, you know, you got jacuzzis in the trunk. I got pet giraffes in the backyard. You know, everything's all cool. And a velociraptor's on its way.
And Alpha Mike said that a group of raptors is called a flock, just like birds. So it's like a flock of seagulls.
A flock of raptors, man? You can't pick a better name. Wow. Oh shit, there's a flock of raptors coming, man. Wow, that's crazy. Wow. The birds of prey.
They are birds of prey.
Flock of raptors. This is crazy.
It sounds so much, when you say it really fast, it sounds like velociraptors. A flock of raptors.
A flock of raptors. Hey, yeah, see? A flock of raptors. Walk a flock of raptors.
Did you really?
So many
you
things,
really
man.
Just did that.
I did that. Yes. 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 Yeah, I need help. Don't mind me. Don't mind me at all.
I'm so concerned.
Very much so. But hey, listen, you know, as Detroit Blue is on her way home in her brand new studio and also her brand new Starbucks that's, you know, been made by new people on a Monday. I mean, at least it's good because you haven't complained about that.
No.
So I think it's phenomenal.
The old people made it, but the new person rung me up. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we good to go then. We hot to try. We are hot to try. So
now, baby. Oh, I'm sorry.
See, you just did that. You did that this time. You did that this time.
Alpha Mike, it has been a very, very, very long time since I first saw the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
A very long
time. Listen, my favorite part in Jurassic Park is when the fat dude got spit on by that. I forgot what that dinosaur is called, but it was in the weeds and it kind of like stuck his head out and then spit on him and blinded him. And then when he got in the truck, he thought he was safe, but it got in the truck with him. So
you mean the dude that like played Newman?
Yeah, Newman, yeah.
Yeah, Seinfeld.
Yeah. What's up, Newman? Yeah, Newman got his ass ate up. Yeah. In the worst way possible. There's no way to get out of that. No way to get
Alpha out. Alpha Mike knows so much about these dinosaurs.
Dilophosaurus, yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's a cool looking animal though, but that thing is scary. Imagine seeing walking up on that in the woods. Mm-mm. You just start letting its rails out. They're screaming? Nah, we don't want that. Oh yeah.
Right.
So what? Monster Hunter was a video game. Still is. It's Monster Hunter World. You actually, you pretty much live off the land. So you hunt huge monsters. Like they call them monsters, but it's like they look like dinosaurs or whatever the case may be. But they have habits. So as you fight them, if they get their health gets lower, they have certain habits where they defend themselves. They're trying to get out the way. They're carnivores. They're herbivores. But as you kill them, you pretty much either eat some of their meat or you can use some of their hides as weapons or armor. And you go out and farm and hunt. So you basically a hunter. So they made a movie with Mila Jovovich from Resident Evil fame. She was in the movie. Megan Good was in the movie. T.I. was in the movie. Me and Queen's Ransom seen it, I will say, a couple weeks back. Actually, my birthday week. Let's just say, before I even say this, will you watch Monster Hunter Detroit Blue?
You gotta, I'm gonna have to look this one.
It's not a horror movie by any means.
I'm just saying, I need more information.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie, but I will say though, someone died in a really horrific way.
That's not.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It was actually pretty decent, for what it's worth. But yeah, so anyway, this is Nintendo Day, everybody. This is Nintendo Day, and we are talking about some of the best N64 games of all time. But before we get into that, there's also some more Nintendo news, and it's been said that Nintendo reportedly is expecting another record year for software with this series of major games. So, it says Nintendo is reportedly expected to ship 250 million units of software in its next fiscal year, comfortably beating its existing all-time records thanks to a lineup of mostly unconfirmed blockbuster games. Per anonymous sources of Bloomberg, Nintendo has briefed some partners and suppliers on its expectations for April 2021 to March 2022 and set expectations of shipping 250 million games. That used number is seemingly driven by what Bloomberg calls a series of marquee game releases and what analyst Circon Total calls a much stronger blockbuster software lineup and new hardware. Nintendo is already forecasting a record year for sales in its current financial year ending March 2021, expecting to see 205 million ship units. Its previous best year came in financial year 2008, when the used popularity of the Wii saw 204.6 million units shipped. Financial year 2020 was unexpectedly used for Nintendo, mainly because of the upswing of COVID-19 and gaming, and an enormous success of Animal Crossing New Horizons. Tom Nook is a crook, by the way. If you ever play Animal Crossing, yeah, you want to fight him every time you see him. But anyway, 250 million units is a frankly enormous increase on that new record. And if legitimate, represents huge confidence from Nintendo in its upcoming games. New Pokemon Snap, Mario Golf Super Rush, and The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD will all drop in that period, which could represent high sellers. And a large proportion of, you guessed it, Monster Hunter's Rise's sales will also likely come in next financial year. We could also reasonably expect the release of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, and Shining Pearl in that window. Looking further, Pokemon Legends Arceus Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, and Splatoon 3 could also drop in that period. Detroit Blue.
I still just want a Nintendo Switch.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been really racking my brain on if I want a Nintendo Switch or not, or if I want the Switch Lite or not. And the more and more I think about it, Detroit, the more and more I want it.
I want one. I know I want one. But I don't want one to cost as much as they cost.
True. So, wait a minute. So, if you get a Nintendo Switch, what games do you want?
Let me tell you. Number one, besides like Mario Kart, I have no idea.
Now, I will tell you this. You can actually buy old school like games for your Switch, like regular Nintendo and Super Nintendo. You can actually do that. You just gotta go in the store and like purchase it or whatever. So you can actually do that. You definitely probably gonna occupy yourself with some Animal Crossing. That's actually pretty decent. There's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. It's only on the Switch. Windjammers is actually on the Switch too. As well, so I'll put you on game. Don't worry about it, Troy. I got you. Don't worry about it.
Like, I just know that it looks really cool. It looks very convenient. It looks like, you know, in the rare occasions that that I'm, you know, out and about these days, because that doesn't happen because it's still a pandemic going on. But if I'm out, you know, and I'm just going to be sitting somewhere for a minute, like, it'd be nice to have something to play. It's also convenient. I've got my little Nordic track bike, and sometimes, honestly, to just forget about what I'm doing, I will still play, like, games on my phone so that I'm, like, there and pedaling hard, but I'm not, like, thinking about it, and so I'm just getting the work in. So I think, like, having a Nintendo Switch to play would be super convenient.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, I mean, especially if you have like you can always go the cheaper route with the Switch Lite, whereas it's just a handheld, and you can't connect it to a TV because, you know, that's just I wouldn't say a downgraded version, but just a travel version of it, even though the Switch you can travel with, but it's travel only. And I think that can be highly convenient. You can easily pack that. You can easily pack the rear of the Switch too, but if you want to go the cheaper route, Detroit, I would definitely say Switch Lite.
And like, I don't like, why is it $300? Like, it makes me feel like if it's $300, it makes me feel like I just need to get a console, but I can't travel with a console.
I don't think the Switch Lite is $300. You can actually go to GameStop and buy one used for like maybe $250, if I'm not mistaken.
That's still high.
True. Now, okay. Here's the thing that I don't know if people are shocked about this or not, but when it comes to the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox, Switch outsold both of them. I am a PlayStation guy, and I'm here to tell you, Nintendo Switch outsold both of them. And honestly and truly, even with the PS5 and the Xbox Series, Nintendo Switch is still beating them. Like, if Nintendo Switch comes out with a new console, or whatever, which I really don't think they need to right now. Honestly, they got huge success with their Switch. They did cool. The thing Nintendo has right is that they're not concentrating on the next generation graphics and yada, yada, yada. You know, they're not doing any of that stuff. They're just focusing on the quality of games that you have and we're going to make sure these games are fun and you're going to spend mad hours on. And that's where they're at. They're taking a formula out of, I think they're taking a page out of Sega Genesis book, and that's where they're going with that. Honestly. Which, you know, I don't want to go. Oh, he said 184 refurbished. There you go. The there you go, Detroit.
Refurbished for the light.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'll think on it some more.
That's good, right? So, I mean, when you think about it,
I might return the car semi. I mean, the car studio with my semi money.
Look at you with a switch. You switching things out with the STEMI, but you know, you man, I hit balling out of control here. 184. That's not bad though. That's not bad.
See, now you about to go get one.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about this, Detroit. This is really. Let me Google some games and see if it's worth me spending 184 or more on a Switch.
You gonna do it?
Now, I will say though, you could play against Queen's Ransom because she has a Switch at home.
Because she has a Switch.
Yeah. No, she does. Well, her son has a Switch, but he hardly plays.
No, she has a Switch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she has.
Exactly.
You are absolutely
she has
correct.
A Switch. No. She's got a Switch.
Yeah.
See, Alpha Mike said he was on layaway. Free from Toys R Us when you need them.
Oh, he's in the backyard.
Jesus.
Yeah, you so thought I had just any old giraffe?
So we're talking about the top 15 N64 games of all time today.
Yes, we are talking about some of the best N64 games of all time. Let's just put it out there. Me and Detroit Blue, we didn't create this list. Okay? We didn't create this list, so don't get upset with us.
Which is also... No. Because I don't know. Because me and you listed two different ones. I am on the IGN one because I don't want to get yelled at this time.
IGN really does good work, though.
Solid work. And I also feel like we kind of, it was the game radar, the James radar, the games radar list last week was very, very triggering for some people.
Yeah, PTSD style so, triggering.
And so I don't want to, you know, bring up those negative memories. Mm-hmm. This week, I want to try to change directions. I want to try to bring some joy to people instead of stress. So today we are going to look at the top 15 N64 games of all time, since we are having a Nintendo Day this wonderful Monday. And game number 15. Hold on, I didn't ask you guys. What do you think is on this list?
I can tell you Super Mario 64 is on there. Donkey Kong 64 is on there. Perfect Dark is on there. I'm trying to think. Oh, Legend of Zelda, like for sure is on there. Like Ocarina of Time, like yeah. Yeah, Pokemon, yeah. If any of those games are not on this list, yeah, you're writing angry letters. Like, we are questioning the legitimacy of IGN.
Like, my battle. So, number 15. And then Neo38 said Turok.
Yes.
Number 15 is Resident Evil 2.
That's fair.
I would actually expect it to be higher than 15.
One would expect, right? So, what N64 has is what Sega Genesis could have had, honestly. I mean, well, the new next-gen Sega was going to have, right? So, I never had an N64, but I have played in the N64 with friends, you know, at friends' houses or whatever. I just couldn't get next to the controller. It was like the weirdest controller known to man. I couldn't get next to it. But Resident Evil 2 is definitely should be on that list. Do it need to be at 15? We'll see though. What it says.
So I'm sorry, I was getting my caffeine in for a second. So it says that after way too long, Capcom survival horror series makes its Nintendo 64 debut in the form of Resident Evil 2. A port of the PlayStation original, Raccoon City has somehow fallen victim to a zombie outbreak, and it's up to you as either police officer Leon Kennedy or Claire Redfield, sister to Chris Redfield, to find out what's going on. The adventure, which takes place in 3D using pre-rendered backgrounds, drags you through spooky crash sites, abandoned buildings, experiments gone wrong, and more. All the while battling undead monstrosities, solving puzzles, and most of all, trying to stay alive. Lots of weapons and other gadgetry allow for some truly disgusting mayhem. RE2 for Nintendo 64 is exactly the PlayStation game of the same name, with a few new X-Files that reveal more details about the overall franchise. Even got FMV.
So, okay, so, Resident Evil 2 was definitely a step up from Resident Evil. Now, back in the day, you know, we had those, I'm going to put this in quotations, realistic graphics, right? So, the camera angles was horrible, but we still enjoy the game just the same. Don't get stuck on no corner or else you will die. But, yeah, dead accurate. What you got at 15? I mean, 14, I'm sorry.
That's why I was like, I just did 15. Like, can I not count? What happened?
Clearly, I can't.
I am surprised to finally see this title. We have Madden NFL 99.
What? We got a Madden title on the N64? Matt, please explain. Go ahead.
Title on the N64.
What is Ashley saying about the Madden game? That's crazy, because I know we kind of like going in and out. Like that's nuts.
Okay, so it says the first real Madden offering from EA Sports. Madden 99 is certainly the prettiest and probably the most functional football title on the N64. Unbearable Madden 64. And the exquisite Madden gameplay we've come to expect from that sacred franchise. This was the Madden game that NFL football on the console, excellent graphics, tons of NFL detail, and a wonderful new franchise mode football game until NFL 2K showed up. Both Madden 2000 and Madden 2001 have the same Blitz-inspired player modes that just don't stand up to the solid flesh and bone players and well-animated players from 99. The frame rate in 99 was the worst of the group, but nowhere near bad enough to take away from the enjoyment of the game.
Wow. Madden 99. That's crazy. That boggles my mind, man. Madden 99 on N64. That is really the first football title on any of our lists. So that game has to be hella fire impressive. But you know what's better than Madden 99 is ESPN 2K5, but we're gonna talk about that later. Go ahead, Detroit Blue. What else you got for 13?
Because you also spent a lot of time playing Sega Sport.
Yes, and they are the pinnacle of sports games. Period. They are the pinnacle. But we're gonna go. We'll break it down further.
Okay. So, number 13, Ridge Racer, Ridge Racer 64.
I'm ashamed that I forgot this title. But Ridge Racer is definitely a good racing game. It's a great one. It is.
But go ahead,
explain Ridge Racer to the market. It is. It's a great game.
Namco's classic Ridge Racer franchise hits Nintendo 64 at long last as Ridge Racer 64. a semi-port of sorts. That was tricky. A semi-port of sorts, complete with new tracks and cars, a four-player mode, a brutally fast sensation of speed, and an all-new gameplay mechanic to boot. Though, in fact, the game wasn't developed by Namco itself, newcomer NST has worked a little magic of its own to keep the power slide-based formula of the series intact while offering a new style of play, too. RR64 features 9 tracks, which in actuality amount for three courses with 3 variations of each. It also features 25 cars, many of which are not playable at first, but gradually be unlocked. This is an arcade racer to the very core.
I'm digging that. That's definitely a good step up as far as Ridge Racer goes. I mean, when it comes to like some of the best racing games of all time, I would definitely put Ridge Racer up there. I mean, obviously Gran Turismo, Project Gotham, and Ridge Racer is definitely probably arguably top 3. But go ahead. What else you got?
I think you'll like this one for number 12. Number 12 is WWF WrestleMania 2000.
Yo! So, yeah. Enough said. WrestleMania 2000. I have no other words for that. That game was legendary. That was legendary on N64. I give them that.
So you're excited about number 12?
Yes, I am. There's no way else I can actually explain that. That was definitely a classic. Okay. WrestleMania 2000 for the N64. That was a great one. That was a good one. Surprisingly so.
They said it only added some WWF spices to a tried and true wrestling formula left over from previous WCW games. The WWF WrestleMania 2000 still stands as the best wrestling game anywhere, period. The Aki and Asmic engine, complete with its floaty limbs and horrible collision detection, has the very best animations of any wrestling game. Being able to tell the and choke slam is important to the WWF fans, and WrestleMania came through with flying colors. The create a wrestler feature is one of the deepest and best character editing features in any game, wrestling or otherwise. You could make believable likenesses of just about anybody you know, provided they have faces like wrestlers. The WWF brought you the people's elbow and rock out and permanent people's eye lock. The people spoke with their voices at the end of 1999, and WrestleMania sold 1 million copies in just about 2 months.
So, Detroit Blue, I think you're breaking in and out here. I think with the...
Do I need to go back to the car?
Yeah.
Did you really say yes, I need to go back to the car? Hold on.
No, I don't know. I think it's maybe the system here, maybe. That was going on. Half of my life, someone gave a BB to Red Bill.
Is it better now, or is it still breaking up?
Yes. No. You're fine. You're fine now.
Okay. So literally, like, I started to feel like I was hearing myself breaking up, and so I turned off my Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I might need to reset my Wi-Fi later. But if you can hear me now, then I'm good. I just have to stay off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So what was saying about WrestleMania 2000?
So we Gucci now, right?
Oh, we Gucci. We always Gucci.
Okay. Well, there's a lot that they were saying about WrestleMania 2000. So let me go.
Cliff notes.
It says being able to tell the difference between a rock bottom and a choke slam is important to WWF fans, and WrestleMania came through with flying colors. The create a wrestler feature is one of the deepest and best character editing features in any game, wrestling or otherwise. You could make believable likenesses of just about anybody you know, provided they have faces like wrestlers. The flair only strengthened the appeal of this game. and only WrestleMania brought you the people's elbow and rock bottom and permanent people's eyebrow like you wanted it. This game sold a million copies at the end of 1999 in just 2 months.
I like
it. And they said that it still stands as the best wrestling game anywhere.
Really? You know what? We're going to test that theory tomorrow on Tuesday morning. Because we're going to put up a list of some of the best wrestling games of all time. And I'm going to go through this list and see if the Geek Corner actually agrees on this. If WrestleMania 2000 is the best. But go ahead, Troy Blue, with your list. What you got?
So, number 11. And I feel like we have still not covered a single game that you all mentioned at the top of the show. So, number 11, Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, yes. You know what? Fond memories. Fond memories with Super Smash Brothers. So, I was in Jersey. I have family in Paterson, New Jersey and Newark. So one of my big cousins was getting married. He married this Italian lady, right? So the wedding only lasted literally 5 minutes. That's it. I was shocked. I'm like, I got dressed up for 5 minutes? This is what we're doing? So, and I was a young cat, you know, young kid or whatever. So we went to the reception. The reception, however, lasted hours. It lasted hours. So, you know, got myself, you know, I was, you know, dancing around tight and, you know, took a sip of wine or two, you know what I mean? I was a young cat, you know, I'm 21. And I was a little smashed a little bit. It's the wine. The wine is a special type of feel, right? Got home, hang out with my cousin. We were playing Smash Brothers, and we played that thing all night. That's the fondest memory I have of the original Smash. And yes, I can't believe I forgot about that. I am mad at myself.
Terrible. I can't believe that all of you, like even the people in the chat, nobody mentioned Super Smash Brothers.
Nobody mentioned Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers literally came out of nowhere. Only 3 months before its scheduled Japanese release, Nintendo announced that second party developer HAL was putting the finishing touches on a fighting game starring some of its most popular franchise characters. Starring 12 Nintendo mascots, including Mario, Luigi, Fox, Legends of Zelda's Link, because that was all going to be one sentence, Metroid's Samus, Pokemon's Pikachu, and Jigglypuff, and even Captain Falcon from F-Zero. Super Smash Bros. Proved once and for all Super Smash Brothers proved once and for all that Nintendo could take on any genre and develop a spectacular game. Despite the initial hesitation, the game was finally released stateside 3 months later and became a huge hit. They even referenced that it's a greatly underrated game.
Greatly underrated. Like, it really hit you in the back of the head like a brick. That basically, because we weren't expecting Smash to be too smash like this. We wasn't expecting that at all. You know, we was thinking, you know, Mario Kart, Donkey Kong. Nah, we're going to play some Smash. And we're going to embarrass you. That was Super Smash Brothers, man. That was Mortal Kombat without the fatalities.
I do remember that. I remember the commercial where they had some of the characters fighting in, like, this gigantic, like, field of flowers.
My gosh.
Who done
Smash
it?
What happened? Brothers, man. This is just Smash Brothers, man. It's just so many good memories of that game. It's like, I had Samus, actually. I had Samus from Metroid, and Samus was my go-to. She had that chain link where she can kind of like grab you, and she can like charge up her harm cannon, and it just shoots this big ball of energy, and it's like shoots you across the screen, or shoots you off the screen, actually, if it hits you, right? Yeah, it's good times. It's good time. Good times embarrassing people. Sorry.
Goodness. Okay, so number 10. I don't know how y'all are going to feel about this one. I'm just going to remind everybody. I didn't write this list. Earth Mac did not write this list. Because I don't know what y'all are going to feel about number 10. Number 10 is International Superstar Soccer 98.
International Superstar. Man, there's two sports titles that's actually on Nintendo 64. That's crazy.
What and is we happening? Are only at number 10 out of 15.
What the? Yeah, carry on. I'm confused.
It is the non-licensed game with Carlos Valderrama on the cover. And it is the very best soccer game to ever hit the N64. International Superstar Soccer 98 surpassed the several FIFA licensed game. I don't know. Like some of they didn't edit this. Okay, this is gonna be fun. Thanks to excellent and smooth gameplay and control, you had to suffer through fake superstars like Romano in place of Ronaldo. But the sequel to IS4 had the same charm of the original, a whole lot more. What?
Oh, you was breaking up again.
Oh, what'd I do? So you can still hear me?
Oh yeah, you know. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you. But you seem like you was breaking out again. Oh yeah, and we're back. Cause I'm looking at the signal. It just says "Porter, excellent." It's like at the bottom right corner. I know. Maybe it's Podbean. Maybe that's what's going on. But
that's
moving
what
on
I was
though.
Like, I'm looking at.
We didn't know about.
Yeah, I'm so confused. You're confusing me.
Well, we good. We good with you.
I know, but
I didn't mean
to
confuse you.
Yeah, I'm really actually IGN is usually really, really, really thorough, and I'm actually quite surprised because the editing on this list is leaving a lot to be desired. So
they probably fired that writer.
They should have fired that editor. It says you had more teams, more pitches, more options. Plus an improved create a player feature. There wasn't much wrong with ISS64, but little additions like head tracking and a more sophisticated AI brought soccer home in the best way. The nonstop action of real soccer, and hockey for that matter, lends itself to video games better than most sports, and ISS98 capitalized on this by forcing the gamer to learn the intricacies of football. Sure, you could try to go one-on-one every time you got the ball, but you'll be a lot more successful if you involve your teammates in a well-planned attack. If you want the best soccer experience on the N64 top to bottom, International Superstar Soccer 98 is your cartridge.
I'm still
and
confused.
Nobody expected there to be two games in the top 15.
No, not two sports games. Like that's. I don't think I ever heard of that game, to be honest.
I looked at the cover and I've never seen it.
That's perverse. That's crazy.
It's perverse.
It is.
Even Mios 38 has questions.
Yes, we all have questions.
Number 9. Rayman 2, The Great Escape.
Okay, I agree with that. Rayman is actually a really good game, so I'm not even mad at that.
Just none of you thought about Rayman?
Nah. We ain't thought about Rayman. I mean, when you think of N64, Papa Punk says, that's the vibe. Rayman was fire. Yeah, Rayman was actually really, really good. But when you think of like Nintendo, the first thing you think about is Zelda, Donkey Kong, Metroid, Mario. That's the first thing you think about. But again, yeah. I want to see Perfect Dark in there.
Well, we are at number 9 and we haven't seen Perfect Dark yet. So let's see if it's coming. Rayman 2, it says Ubisoft brings its 2D platform franchise into the third dimension in Rayman 2, The Great Escape. One of the best titles to grace in Nintendo 64 and somewhat of a surprise at that. The game pits players as the one and only Rayman, a stylized cartoony character who lacks any joints. Rayman embarks on a grand quest to free his home world from enslavement by a threatening army of robotic pirates. To do that,
he must battle through more than 45 former S levels. Collective power looms and threatens their destruction. Their mansion is much more linear than a platformer like, say, Donkey Kong 64. The game features colorful, vividly detailed graphics and lots of easy bonus areas for those skilled enough to unlock them. So many platformers, there's a plethora of puzzle solving elements too.
Well, let's see. I haven't had the pleasure. I will definitely say this. I definitely hadn't had the pleasure of playing Rayman, but I did see Rayman being played as a platformer, and I was thoroughly impressed with Rayman, whether it was on N64 or any other platforms. And I felt like I've done myself a disservice not playing Rayman. So I think eventually Rayman will be played by me, and I definitely would knock that out. But shout out to Rayman being on the list. I am not mad at Rayman being on this list at all, and being at the higher number that it is. So, but yeah, what else we got?
At number 8. Whew. At number 8, we have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And now you see why I was laughing. Because you all
Tony Hawk.
Of all the lists that we've done Dreamcast, we've done PlayStation, we've done the original Nintendo. Like, we've done a lot of different systems on these lists that we're going over. For us to get to 3 games in the top 15 that are sports related, and we are only at number 8.
Yeah, we ain't gonna do that. We're gonna move along.
we don't even want a description of Tony Hawk.
There's no need.
Number 7?
Yeah, we don't need to do that. We good. We good on that. Nothing against Tony Hawk Pro Skater, because it's legendary, okay? It's legendary. It's just that Papa Punk says his hits different, though, from other sports games. Yes, it is X Games, Extreme Sports. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was definitely ahead of his time. We've seen it a lot. I think compared to other games that's on the list, I think we feel like it should be a little bit lower than the other games that were mentioned. So, but yeah, go ahead, Troy. Go ahead with it.
You want me to read the description? You want me to read the synopsis?
Nah, there's no need. We already know about Tony Hawk's greatness.
We know all about, oh my gosh, but side note, and since I'm not reading the synopsis on Tony Hawk, I found it hilarious that because apparently on Twitter, someone says that Tony Hawk was clearly cursed to be beloved but unrecognizable.
And that is a perfect
nope, because apparently on Tony Hawk's Twitter account, he periodically posts stories of things that happen to him in real life where he is out and about in the world and people don't know that he is Tony Hawk, and they tell him oh, you look like Tony Hawk. Like, someone's asked him before, like, the kid asked him, like, what's your name? And he said, Tony. And the kid, like, chuckled and was like, oh, like Tony Hawk. Ha ha ha. And walked away. Like, while he was at a skate park.
Wow.
Yeah. And Papa Punks even said, yeah, there are videos where he goes around and asks if they know Tony Hawk, and they don't know that it's him right in front of them.
Yeah, that is crazy. Like,
people are completely oblivious to the fact that Tony Hawk is Tony Hawk. I also think that it's amazing that Tony Hawk looks exactly the same now as he did when we all discovered who Tony Hawk was. But until now, I never realized that he just looked like a suburban dad.
Yes.
Like, but he looks the exact same as he always has.
Because so every like, night he goes into a hyperbolic time chamber, and that's it. And he wakes up the next morning like,
well,
you know,
he makes
feel like
hair
he's
out of the chamber.
Yeah, he lived. Yeah, you know, it's a wig.
Meal certainly is the one where he's at the airport. And still, this was that Tommy Hawk. Like,
yeah, I mean, I got to find these videos. I really got to find these videos and check them out on YouTube, because I know they're all over the place, or whatever the case may be, man. It just,
yeah,
that's just wild to me. How you don't know who Tony Hawk is, man? He revolutionized like skateboarding.
They have no idea who Tony Hawk is at all. So, although we did not talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater, we did cover a little bit about Tony Hawk in real life. Number 7. Very interesting choice. Number 7 is Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh! Banjo-Kazooie! Oh my gosh! Okay. Okay. Banjo-Kazooie. And that's another...
Banjo-Kazooie.
So, looking at Banjo-Kazooie, right? I'll say that is one of like the premier platformers of the N64, because actually N64 didn't really put their toe in it. They kind of put their leg in platforming. So there was always something that you could use, and it's so many that you can easily forget them. And as we were talking about the platformers, like Rayman, Banjo-Kazooie is up in that joint. So, hey, I mean, it deserves to be on that list. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Because I think,
forgive us, y'all.
I think that part of this list is interesting.
True. True. It is. Part of this is very interesting. But if you never heard of Banjo-Kazooie, I highly encourage you to play it.
Are you having a delay again?
Yes, I think it's actually Podbean itself. Like, I think it doesn't want us to be great today when we do this N64 list. I think that's what's really going on, because I'm noticing that the signal on it goes in and out, in and out, in and out. It does that, right? Especially when you start talking and you want to do your list. And it's like, and when I want to explain something, it's like, boop, poor. Then it goes to excellent. I'm like, really? Really, this is what hot in the streets. But anywho,
because I'm like, I am sitting still. I haven't moved. I haven't done anything different.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. So, we're back.
There's a crazy delay. Okay, Banjo-Kazooie. It says a recipe for Banjo-Kazooie. Start with Nintendo's Mario 64. Now remove the fat Italian plumber and replace him with a bear-bird duo that cannot be separated. Sprinkle in generous portions of huge, colorful 3D worlds textured so well that there be no doubt that about Rare's graphic ability. Now add loads upon loads of items that must be collected or rescued. Everything from musical notes to Jinjos, happy little guys, marinate while stirring in clever puzzles and unique British humor. Add in great dynamic music and boil.
That's an accurate description of Banjo-Kazooie. It's definitely a family type game. I mean, it could have been Conker's Bad Fur Day. It could have been that. And I'll be thoroughly surprised if Conker's is actually in that joint. If it's in the list, I'm going to laugh. But yeah, Banjo-Kazooie is definitely a title that you should play. What else you got, Detroit?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Just a reminder to everybody, the Orange Phoenix podcast did not write this list.
Yes.
Number 6. Wave Race 64.
Hold on. Say what now?
Coming in at number 6, we have Wave Race 64.
That's Yeah, that's unfortunate.
You know, jet skis, water racing. Yep. Alpha Mike says it was a fun game, and Papa Punk says that it was all right.
Okay. Okay. I'll take their word for it, actually, because they are the N64 connoisseurs. I can't crap on Wave 64. I can't. But I love it how they most times put 64 at the end of their game titles, though. That just
that was actually always fascinating to me about Nintendo 64 games. It was like, hey, we don't want for you to put this Super Nintendo, so we're gonna add 64 at the end of every title. So that you know.
Yeah. No doubt. I'll take the word for it. Wave Racer 64. So, I don't think I have ever played this game, but go ahead.
Ooh, the delay is back. Okay. 2 months after Super Mario 64, dazzled US gamers with its nearly flawless 3D platform gameplay, Nintendo unleashed what would become its best racing game to date, Wave Race 64. Developed by one of EAD's most talented teams, this latest masterpiece by legendary designer Shigeru Miyamoto showed that there was still plenty of room for growth in the crowded racing genre. Up to two players get behind the controls of Yamaha-licensed jet skis and try to beat 8 totally unique water courses. Add to that realistic sound effects and groundbreaking water effects, and you've got an instant Nintendo water racing classic that has yet to be dethroned.
Mm. Oh, that's putting it out there. Okay. That's putting it out there. I can't argue it. What's the next on the list?
I'm laughing because BC said, all right, I'm here. Now you can start the show. So, number 5 on the best. So, out of the top 15 Nintendo 64 games, number 5 is, remember, I didn't write this list, Excite Bike 64.
What? Are you serious? Okay. Oh my gosh. What were they smoking, man? What were they smoking?
Consecutively, like everybody in the chat is upset. I didn't write this list. I prefaced it already. Yes, guys, we have had Madden. We have had WWE. We have had Excite Bike. We have had Wave Race. And we've had Tony Hawk. And we are only at number 5. Out of the top 15.
Oh my gosh, this is wow.
This is IGN's pick for best racing game on Nintendo 64 and one of the best titles for the system, period. The name might sound familiar to you because Excite Bike goes way back, all the way back to the days of the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Like the classic game of the same name, Excite Bike 64 is a dirt bike racer. It features 20 tracks and includes indoor and outdoor courses, stunt areas, uphill climb challenges, licensed bikes and riders, a 4-player multiplayer mode, and outstanding graphics. It really is exactly as you'd expect, Excite Bike in 3D.
This is number 5, right?
This is number 5.
My gosh, man. See, it probably said Excite Bike was like the game your mom wanted you to get at Blockbuster other than Clay Fighter. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's like, hey, why don't you play this game instead? No, mom. No. I want Clay Fighters. I don't want that.
Neos38 said, watch number 1 be something like Star Trek. And BC said that number 1 is Xena.
Give us number 4, please.
So, let me just tell you guys. Like, I did glance, and it does get better.
But you know, we had to climb the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like y'all don't believe me, but I promise. Number four, GoldenEye 007.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Why the okay, why the piss is it number four though? But okay, anyway. Anyway.
BC's already said that one. This should be number three.
That should be in the top three for sure.
Okay.
GoldenEye is legendary.
So I'm going to tell you guys the what they say about GoldenEye 007. But what I'm very interested in from the people in the chat is, what do you think number one, two, and three are going to be? So GoldenEye 007 is the one that changed things forever. Not only was the N64 blessed with one of the best games of all time, but video games in general took a new direction when Rare brought the GoldenEye 007 to the home console. It became the definitive first-person shooter for consoles thanks to an outstanding storyline, sound, and stunning realism. The control scheme for GoldenEye still hasn't been faithfully reproduced in any other game, with one notable exception, of course. The game hit nearly 2 years after Pierce Brosnan first took over the James Bond mantle, and made many N64 owners enjoy the movie in an entirely different way. Perhaps GoldenEye's greatest impact was its introduction of the multiplayer deathmatch on the console. The thought of playing a game console where your buddy sitting right next to you are controlling the enemies rather than some hopelessly inefficient artificial intelligence was an idea whose time had come. And GoldenEye was a well-crafted result. Its importance is undeniable. Its place in history is secure. GoldenEye was cool where other top N64 games to that point could only aspire to be neat.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt about it. I'm actually agree with that. I actually agree with that.
This list of ideas on the top three is very interesting.
It is. I mean, Ocarina of Time is for sure. Like, I believe Zelda should be on there. Perfect Dark should be on there. Mario 64, probably.
I'm seeing Mario Kart and Mario 64.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pokemon Stadium.
What we got?
Number three. Whoo! Number three is...
Huh? Please, Lord Jesus.
Number three is Perfect Dark.
Thank you. You best have Perfect Dark on there. You got to have it on there. You got to. That thing crank out, I think, every bit of graphics in the N64, honestly. I remember seeing that on X-Play on G4 TV. So... But yeah, I think that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm happy. I'm happy about that.
BC said not over 007 though.
GoldenEye mainly because of the death match, because a lot of people just play the death matches and stuff like that, and that was one of those things. I mean, of course you had Quake, Unreal Tournament, and stuff like that was going on, but GoldenEye actually really, really, really put that thing to the forefront. But I do put Perfect Dark as far as that game itself a step above GoldenEye, but still. It can easily be flip-flopped, though. It's arguable.
So it says, only George Lucas's return visit to family-friendly fun on spaceships could compete with Perfect Dark as the most anticipated release of 1999. Unfortunately for us, Perfect Dark forfeited its 1999 bragging rights. But we'd be lying if we didn't admit that this rare masterpiece lived up to the hype and delivered exactly what it promised. With the recommended help of the 4 MB expansion pack, I remember when things were in megabytes, Rare squeezed so much more out of the GoldenEye engine that Perfect Dark comes across as an entirely different experience top to bottom. Every trail that GoldenEye blazed was
paved, lit, and fitted with carpool lanes by Perfect Dark. The sound control, number of options, graphics, and even the frame rate are all noticeably improved in this. The storyline, while familiar, is brought to life by outstanding cinemas and surprisingly the voice acting. Shooting with some snazzy new weapons, we might add, is still the primary focus of the game. But with all of the tasks and puzzles to get through, you'll have to use your brain as well as your trigger finger to get by. It is in this way that Perfect Dark pays the ultimate respect to GoldenEye. Rare took so many steps to differentiate this game from its three-year-old predecessor, but the one thing that is consistent over both games is the extraordinary depth and rich gameplay. If you didn't play GoldenEye, you might have a hell of a time learning how a game with Perfect Dark and what kind of behavior is rewarded.
So, okay. So with the Perfect Dark franchise, like, it's one of those things that you can easily flip those between GoldenEye, Perfect Dark and GoldenEye. It's just like when you talk about the best RPGs of all time, when you look at that list, number one is sometimes Final Fantasy VI. Number one is sometimes Chrono Trigger. Number two is sometimes Final Fantasy VI, and sometimes number two is Chrono Trigger. So it's one of those things. It can easily be flipped. So not mad at it. I'm just glad it's on the list at a high number.
Gotcha.
So what's on number two?
We are in the meat of this. Like, we are almost to the cherry on top. Yep, I said meat and then cherries. Yep, all of the things. Number two is Super Mario 64.
Not surprised at Super Mario 64 being there. That was like the premier title. So not mad at that at all. You really got to explain Super Mario 64, honestly. We already know what it's about. We already know. You didn't really got to explain it. You ain't got to read the article.
It was a 3D version of Super Mario. It got upgraded.
Yeah.
Everything got upgraded and it was 3D. So yeah, that's the synopsis. If you know Super Mario, add some more levels and make it all 3D.
Exactly. Alpha Mike was like, LOL, next. We already know. Everybody knows Super Mario 64. Like, not surprised.
And look, as Alpha Mike has demonstrated, the drum roll.
Yes. So what we got here, my guess is Ocarina of Time. That is my guess.
That is your guess.
That is my guess. So what we got?
Number one on this list of the best N64 games of all time is The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Boom! Boom! I knew it. That Ocarina of Time, man. You got to have that in your life. Got to have that in your life, man. Listen. Just like Alpha Mike said, listen. Quotation. Papa Pong said, hey, look. I mean, I'm not like a big, big Legend of Zelda fan. But it's two Legend of Zelda games that I can tell you that is absolutely positively legendary. And that is Ocarina of Time. And that's Link to the Past that's on the Super Nintendo. Whew, man, I'm not even mad at that. I'm not mad at that number one. Everything else on that list with a sight bite, man, you can kick that to the curb, fam. But I feel like Super Smash Brothers should have been higher up there. I know there was a game or two that was missing. But number one, though, not mad at all with that Ocarina of Time. You had your own fairy, and you got to ride a horse around. Well, Star Fox 64. Exactly. Star Fox 64 and Mario Kart 64 were missing.
So Nintendo drags its Zelda franchise into 3D in the form of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, perhaps the most ambitious game ever embarked on. Zelda was developed by a team of more than 200 and over a time period of 3 years. It's a promise, 40 hours of gameplay across vast 3D worlds, interacting with different characters. Unraveling a storyline and solving traditional Zelda puzzles, players will watch the heroic Link grow from child to adult
learn new abilities, make friends, learn magic, kill bosses, and travel through time. And that's just a portion of the title has to offer. Zelda 64 is epic, and it's Nintendo's golden game.
So, okay, Mio38 says, Ocarina of Time even gave a shout-out to Michael Jordan. It did. It did. Like, no doubt about it. And I know, we do apologize, people, because, you know, our system here is, like, giving us some technical difficulties or whatever the case may be. Like, this, and it's not us. It's not me or Detroit Blue or anything like that. I think the system just kind of, like, won't let us be great as we, like, explain some of these games or whatever the case may be. But yes, I did hear the majority of what Detroit Blue was saying as far as 200 people actually working on this project and how great this game is. People want remakes and all this other stuff with updated graphics and all that. But Ocarina of Time is definitely one for the ages. Now, tonight, guys, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be Twitch streaming Orange Phoenix TV. So with Orange Phoenix TV, the game we'll play will be Windjammers. Open challenges out there. So if you do not have Windjammers, I highly encourage you guys to actually get Windjammers. It's actually pretty cheap to get. If you're not open challenges, we'll be playing the computer on medium and in the hard mode. So once people start to trickle in, watching the live stream, just say, hey, I want that open challenge or whatever the case may be. You give me your name because we're playing it on the PlayStation. And I will send out the invite to you, and we can play some Windjammers. Got to get that in our lives. Got to do that. Got to do that all day. And see, now Alpha Mike says he is hooked on Stardew Valley. He is. You said you were level 60 on Stardew Valley. I haven't played Stardew Valley since Thursday. Yeah, since Thursday. Have not played Stardew Valley yet. But Alpha Mike is way ahead of me, just like I predicted. Detroit Blue, this man is all on it now. He is farming his ass off.
He is. He probably actually got a date to the fall fest.
To the festival? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably, look, he said in his, yes. And winter is 2 days away. Winter is coming. Winter is coming. You got 2 days in winter to
really
plant your stuff.
Yes,
I did. I did have a Game of Thrones moment. Speaking of which, I rewatched parts of Game of Thrones in the past few days. There's some friends of mine that they never seen it and or whatever. You know, they watch it for other reasons. You know, other than a story. But so okay. Now they're asking questions now because I warned them. I said, listen, like what you're looking for in this show, it's gonna deteriorate as the story progresses. It's not just gonna just be about, you know, prostitutes and all this other jazz. It ain't gonna just be that. Like once it get to like 6, 7, and 8, you're gonna see little to no nudity. Just letting you know. So you might want to just engross yourself into the story. You might want to just watch it for the story, not just for boobs. That just.
You need better, yeah.
They were like, oh, well, how does this? I'm like, oh, you remember back in season 4 when they said this and that and third? No, I don't. Of course you don't, because you was trying to look for boobs.
Y'all really are 12 years old.
I wasn't. I like Game of Thrones for the story. I really do. Like, I want to rewatch Game of Thrones from the first season all the way up to the end, which I have an unpopular opinion. Like, I really didn't hate the last season. Like, I didn't. Like, it's... Some people hated the last season because it felt like it was rushed. But, I mean, you got to understand here, with George Martin, which I'm pretty sure they got his counsel on the situation, is that the books are not finished. So you had to wrap up the story because the actual show ran past the books. So you have to do an ending. And you already know he's not going to put the ending of the true ending to the show that has not been written yet, because you're not going to go out and buy the books. You got to make it different. Anytime there's a book adaptation, you know, or whatever, they try to deviate from the story a little bit to make it different. Kind of like an alternate ending type deal. So, but yeah. So, at 7 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be playing Windjammers. Cannot wait to hang out with you guys and y'all can play with me and be some good competition or whatever the case would be. Shout out to Alpha Mike and his harvest in Stardew Valley. Do not forget to follow us at Orange Phoenix Media on Instagram. Do not forget to join our Facebook community page, Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. Do not forget to subscribe to our Twitch channel, Orange Phoenix TV, all one word. And last but certainly not least, we have a magazine. We have an online magazine. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. You do get that monthly magazine for only $5 a month. We talk about everything from manga to comics to pro wrestling to anime. You name it, we nerd it, we talk about it. That's what we do in our magazine. And Detroit Blue actually has an article of her own. So tomorrow, it will just be me. Detroit Blue is not, it will be on assignment, you know, on Tuesday tomorrow. But tomorrow, we definitely going to be jumping on some of the best wrestling games of all time. And we will truly see if WrestleMania 2000 is number one. We'll definitely look in on that. Am I missing anything
else? Is it the best Detroit game Blue? Ever?
I doubt it.
That's the best one ever?
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Because there's so many.
Which one's the best for you?
My favorite, my personal favorite, is Saturday Night Slam Masters. And it's not even WCW or WWE. Like, I really like arcade wrestling games. Like, old school, like, 16-bit wrestling games. So this 15 list is going to be very, very interesting. Oh, it might be a 25 list, but we're definitely going to jump into that. And we're definitely going to be talking about some wrestling tomorrow as well to catch everybody up as far as what is going on. And of course, do not. Let's not forget something. Detroit Blue.
Uh-oh.
Netflix get the Petty Award of the Year. Of the year. You understand? Like, when I say the year, no, they get the Petty Award for the decade. They are some slick, wily bastards. Today, they have...
Is it out today? Is it today?
It is out today. I saw it. I didn't see it, but I saw the title this morning. The Last Blockbuster documentary is on, you guessed it, Netflix. Like, your petty level is 9,000. Like, do they understand that they killed Blockbuster themselves? I don't think they understand it.
They but don't yes. care. But somebody also mentioned a very, very, very good fact. When Netflix first started, the business model, I get it, but the business model was ridiculous.
Very much so. Very much so. It was ridiculous.
You're going to fill out this paper and you're going to mail it in, and then they're going to mail you a video. But I could just go to Blockbuster or, you know, the local chain video stores and go pick it up and just have it in my hand and go home.
Yes.
I didn't have to wait 2, 3, 4 days.
Mm-mm. And Meals 38 says they were disrespecting Netflix in the beginning. Yeah, they kind of did. They kind of did. But their business model was definitely trash. I would definitely say that, because you either had the option of you could stream certain movies. Mm-hmm. But it was in a starting
random and limited list.
Rare, yes. And if it wasn't on streaming, you had to rent it by DVD and wait for it to come in. Don't you know I had a TNA pay-per-view DVD that I never returned from Netflix? Like, I just won. I mean, I won. I don't have a late fee because they no longer do DVDs.
So it's like, and that's why they're cut off that version. People like you.
What? I don't password share, man. I never like password share my Netflix.
But I'm saying you kept the DVD, and they're like, nope, we want all our coins.
Yeah, I don't know where the DVD is. And it was, I mean, the TNA Impact pay per view was okay for what it was back in the day, because I had Netflix on the Wii, because that's where I was watching my Netflix shows at. But yeah. But yeah, but that is it for today. We will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Do not forget to hang out with myself, Earth Smack the Mad Scientist, on our Twitch stream channel, Orange Phoenix TV, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Yes, and today in the Geek Corner, I will be posting the date for Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust anime movie for the Saturday. So I will be putting the time and dates for that so all of us can watch. And thank the guys and gals that actually hung out that watched the movie night this past Saturday, which we watched The Raid. And then once we watched Vampire Hunter D, we will spin the wheel once again, two times, to watch the two movies for April. Cannot wait for that. Nice. So that
and
is
then
it
Wednesday,
for
we are
that
going
is it
to
for
try
today.
To, Wednesday, we're, no, Wednesday, we're going to try to cover previews, details of what to expect from Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Justice League.
Yes, because Justice League comes out on Thursday, all 4 hours. Now, listen, we will give you guys the entire weekend, okay, to watch Justice League Snyder Cut. That Joker is 4 hours, all right? So
yes.
We will reattack this on Monday on what we thought of Justice League Snyder Cut. You hear me? Like, so you got the whole weekend, and also you got the whole entire weekend to watch Captain Falcon and Winter Soldier. But we're definitely going to be talking about the previews of that and what we expect from that. Yes. All right? So, till next time, y'all. Peace.
Get a hoodie. It's cold outside.
Lord help.